Bartram has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in!
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Welcome back to the Kentucky Resilience Lab podcast. This week's episode, we're doing a special episode on athletes in COVID, and we have a special guest with us today. But before we jump into the episode, we wanted to recognize that COVID is a very serious virus that is impacting so many people across the world. So we know that in many places, athletes are getting back to training and competing. So that's why we wanted to do this episode. We thought it would be important to do an episode on returning to play after having COVID. I think there might be some unknowns about COVID that can make it scary for people to want to get back to exercising. So we have with us today, Zach Tierney.
Yeah, you got it.
He is a professional hockey player. So you can go ahead and introduce yourself, kind of tell us about what you do, what you have been doing.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is exciting. So my name's Zach, and I just came home from Sweden where I was playing professional hockey there. Last season, I played a year in France, and 4 years prior, I was at Ferris State University in Michigan playing Division I men's ice hockey. And yeah, my whole life's kind of been centered around hockey, whether it was education or just childhood growing up. So everything kind of dials back to that. So yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. So I don't know much about hockey. I'm a swimmer. We talked about that a couple of minutes ago, but what does a typical day in training look like? Like, what is the biggest demands you would say hockey?
So it actually, like growing up when obviously you're at a younger age, hockey training wasn't so big because obviously you don't want to be putting your body through, you know, immense pressure when you're at such a young age. But then as you get going, you see people doing all these different skating tests and all these different weight trainings. And it's like, okay, like I wasn't doing that before. And you hit an age maybe around 14, 15, where you start really getting into that. Now, a little bit further, like at where I went to college, like training was, it was crazy. It's like going from junior hockey where you kind of do your own thing. The team has practices and games, but not so much training. But when you get to college, you're on like a really tight program. So the average day, or I'll start with average week because that's a little bit easier. So you're pretty much on the ice 6 days a week. So you'll practice Monday through Thursday. Where I went to school, we would practice around 11 o'clock. You have to base your workout schedule around classes. And so practice would be around 11, and then we would work out at 6 in the morning. And that's Monday through Thursday. Friday, you have a pregame skate, and then you'd play Friday and Saturday night, and then Sundays for that long. So it's pretty intense, and it gets to be a lot with the training in the school. But you're around guys that are doing the same thing, so it's really easy to adapt.
So this is a year-round thing, like you do it nonstop?
Yeah, you pretty much do it nonstop. A typical guy, I would say, takes about a month off of the ice after the season, but they're still in the gym. And throughout the summer, you're skating and working out because you don't want to fall behind, but you also want to take care of your body so you're not kind of skipping a step.
Right. That's how swimming is, too. We basically get a week off and then we're back in the water year-round.
Yeah, swimming's hard. I mean, I've never done it, obviously, competitively, but I've done it. I have a pool out in my backyard at my parents' house, so just doing, like, cardio workouts with swimming is
hard. Well, I imagine hockey is equally up there in skill and talent and difficulty because...
Yeah, you can't drown when you're playing hockey. That's the only difference.
That is true. So, yeah, what were your initial thoughts about COVID, and how did they change as time went on? Did your goals change?
So I was actually in France. That's kind of where I got connected to the whole COVID thing. So in where I was in France, it was actually a really, really bad area for COVID when the first outbreak happened back in March. But I found out most of the information from my parents back home in Canada. Like, I was over there and, you know, people were still crowding in bars. We still had fans at games. And my parents were like, hey, like, just be careful because, like, this thing is getting really bad, this coronavirus. And when I was over there, it was just like, like, what are you talking about? Like, I haven't heard anything about COVID. Like, I would go on Twitter and all my Twitter was coming from where the region I was in, and it was all about skiing and sports. And then I would switch it to, you know, the Ontario area, and it was like all about coronavirus, and we hadn't heard much about it. So at first it was kind of just the impression like, oh, you know, it seems like it's, you know, the flu's breaking out or people are getting sick. And then you hear people are starting to die and it's, you know, getting pretty serious. And then that's what my parents were like, yeah, like, we're probably going to have to look at getting you home soon. And I'm like, what? Like, we just won the first round of playoffs. Like, we're just getting going here. And so at first it was just kind of shocking because we didn't really have much information about it. It was just more of a, you know, this is going on and people are getting really sick, just be careful.
Yeah, no, that's definitely how it was for college athletes, I think, too. We were right in the middle of our big NCAA tournaments that were going on, basketball, I think volleyball, swimming was going on. And we were like, oh, is this like really going to be like a thing? And then everything started getting canceled and we were like, oh my God.
Yeah, and it went from like zero to like 10 real quick. It went from, you know, everybody's still doing their sports, going to classes. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, like thousands and thousands of people are being impacted by this, you know, stuff's getting closed and sports are getting canceled. And then it just kind of blew up and everybody kind of had that realization like, okay, this is a lot worse than we thought it was going to be.
Right. So when did you actually end up getting COVID?
So I don't know the exact day I got it, but I would assume I came home from France on March 17th and they had already implemented the 2-week quarantine. So I got tested right when I came home and I found out like, so I was one of the first person that I knew to get it was myself. Like, nobody in my close circle or anybody I knew had ever had it. So when I found out 12 days later, it was pretty early in the testing process. So it was almost the end of my quarantine when I found out that my test was actually positive. So I would assume somewhere from France to Toronto, Ontario, whether it be at the airport, on the airplane, is where I got it. But didn't really know much of it. My parents kind of assumed I had it, right? So like, they were like, okay, you're just going to quarantine. We're going to act as if you do have it. I know I got tested and I didn't find out for a while. Something right. In that span of country to country, I unfortunately picked it out.
Yeah, I actually had COVID as well. I had it in July and I was home and I actually didn't know I had it because I really didn't show any symptoms. Did you have any symptoms?
I did. I definitely had symptoms. And I think for me, it was a little bit different because I have asthma as well. And being that it's like a respiratory virus, like it hits the lungs pretty hard. So one of the first things I noticed was just like going up and down a staircase. I was just like, holy crap, like I'm not out of shape. Like I'm in mid-season form here. Why am I exhausted from just going up the stairs or literally rolling out of bed and you stand up and you get that lightheaded, like where did my cardio go? Because I'm dying right now. And so that was one aspect of it. And the other aspect that hit me was I literally had zero taste. Over time, it got better, obviously, but even after, you know, the quarantine and after COVID had probably left my body, I still wasn't tasting food the same, which was the worst part. So I was in the quarantine and all I could really do was, you know, watch TV or eat. So I was excited to eat, but I couldn't taste it. So that was pretty, pretty disappointing.
So you did lose your sense of taste?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Like I had no taste. So it was pretty crazy because I was actually at my parents' house when I had it. And I quarantined in like, there's like a little, like people call them like an ensuite in the basement where I just have my own bathroom and my own bedroom and like a TV set up, but I didn't really go around them too much and they never had any symptoms and they never got it, which was weird because I was in the same house, but my mom would just make me really spicy food just so I could get like the feeling that I was tasting, even though I actually couldn't taste the food. So they would just jack up all the meals with some sort of hot sauce or that's how I got through it. And that was my excitement, was just spicy food.
Wow, that's awesome. Not awesome, but awesome that they did that for you and didn't get
it. Yeah, it was crazy that they never ended up experiencing. Obviously, I'm very grateful for that. But
right. My parents, when I had it, I was like living with them and they ended up not getting it same similar situation.
Yeah, so you're in the same boat. It's just strange. Like, they picked me up from the airport and I had my mask on, and my mom's a clean freak, so everything I did, everything I touched, I wasn't allowed in the kitchen. I wasn't allowed to basically touch anything in the house. She was behind me with lights all. But yeah, they did a great job, and obviously it worked. So
you had COVID and now you're recovered from COVID. What was training like getting back to your sport? What did you find like was the most difficult?
Again, the most difficult part for me was my COVID symptoms came in like really big waves. So like I would wake up one day, you know, the past night I felt like complete crap, and I was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna lay low. As an athlete, I'm sure you go through the same thing. After a couple of days of doing nothing, you just feel so lazy. So you want to get up and do something. You want to go for a run or do a workout. So I didn't screw myself, but I kind of put myself in a tough spot, because every time I thought I felt great, I would go out and go for a run, like by myself. Obviously, I wasn't going around other people, but I would go out and go for a run and I'd be like, yeah, I feel great. Like, I think I'm done this. And then like, I would get home from the run and my body would kind of cool down. Then I would just be like, ooh. Just be completely wiped out. So getting back into training was more so mentally. It was just like, what the heck is going on? Like, I was in really good shape before this, and you know, I was able to run, you know, 4 or 5 miles no problem, and then I couldn't even run 2 miles by the time I was done. And I was just really, really discouraging, because it's like all that progress I had kind of went down the drain. Obviously that wasn't the case, it was a pretty bad virus. But going back into training, I just kind of eased my way into it, didn't do too much, tried to listen to my body and kind of follow what it was telling me. So
yeah,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but just me telling myself I was getting better and then I would overexert myself and go back to square one was kind of the downfall of it.
Yeah. So did you mentioned kind of this positive self-talk that you used, or Did you use any other mental skills to help you get back to being in shape or fully recovered, I guess?
So something I always try to do, and I've like, you know, I follow a lot of positivity podcasts and I read a lot of like, you know, self-improvement books and stuff like that. So a lot of it was just kind of sitting down and just like being present with yourself. Like, I would just sit down and literally breathe. I still do that to this day sometimes. If you're in a stressful situation or if you like have some pent-up anxiety, literally just blocking everything out, taking a couple seconds, put your phone down and just breathe and be like, okay, this is a really bad time right now. My body's in shambles, but this is going to be okay. I knew I was strong enough to obviously beat it. So I wouldn't necessarily call it meditation, but just kind of taking a sec to, you know, be present and, you know, listen to your body, take some deep breaths and just kind of, you know, calm yourself down, place yourself in a mindset where, you know, yeah, this is really bad, but it's going to get better, just like all things in life. And yeah, just the worst thing you can do in that situation is be like, oh, you know, I'm done. COVID ruined my, you know, ruined my hockey career. I'm never going to be able to skate again, stuff like that. Like, that's just not going to help the situation. So keeping a positive mindset, you know, I would FaceTime my friends when I was in quarantine. I would, you know, try to get some laughs. Watch stuff that I'm interested in, listen to music and stuff like that. So that all kind of got through it, but just keeping the positive attitude was the best part.
Yeah, for sure. Did you have any, like, you, I know you mentioned like dwelling on the past and feeling out of shape. Did you have any goals that you had pre-COVID that changed due to getting COVID, or like the whole situation?
I guess, actually, yeah, my life was impacted in a pretty big way at the time. In the grand scheme of things, it's not the end of the world, but my team had just won the first round of playoffs. We were actually the lowest seed and we swept the top seed in the playoffs. So we were like, you know, we were kind of the underdogs doing really well in playoffs, and we just won the first round. Then we were going to the semis and we had a good chance at winning that series too. So that was the initial, like, okay, that really sucks. We lost a chance at kind of making a championship run and we all had to go home. We didn't even really get to say like have our goodbyes or anything. So that was pretty unfortunate. The only other big downfall was I was signed to play professionally in Australia over this summer. So Australia, obviously the seasons are different. They have a summer hockey league opposite of North America and Europe. So I was going to move there and play for their team throughout the summer, and I was really excited about that. I have family over there, and I was really looking forward to it, and that obviously got shut down. So it was more so just and I think a lot of people went through this, just the kind of a time of uncertainty, like nobody knew how long this was going to go on. Look, we're 9 months later and it's still, you know, not really that much different. Like, we're still in lockdowns. And so just the period of uncertainty for everybody, but not knowing what to do next, where to go next. I know for hockey players and myself included, the season typically runs from August until, you know, March or April. So there was a time where I was like, okay, my goal is to play another year of pro, but what country is actually going to be opening up, like allowing import players to come over and play? So it was more so just like a scramble period where I'm like, okay, I have to find somewhere that's going to open up, because I don't want to just stop playing hockey because of this. You know, I don't want to let it end my career. I want to go out on my own terms. But so those goals were definitely impacted, you know, having our playoffs ended, you know, Australia not happening, and then the uncertainty were tough. But.
So are you done with hockey now, or are you going to continue playing?
So I was in Sweden, and I went there at the beginning of September. I had to go a little bit late because of the COVID situation. And I was there until the beginning of December. And Sweden didn't really get hit hard until December. And then the whole team got COVID, and we weren't sure if the season was going to continue or anything. So I decided to come home, and I'm actually in a really good place right now. I'm glad I made that decision, even though it sucks being off the ice. But as for going forward, I definitely want to play again. I had a couple injuries while I was over there too. I ruptured my groin twice, so maybe came back too soon, and that's a pretty painful injury. But it's hard to say. You know, if something comes up that interests me enough to want to go, I would definitely want to go back to Europe, because it's just been a great life experience. So I do want to play again, whether I will or not. That's kind of uncertain right now, but I'm not going to say that I'm retired or done playing yet, but I'm not sure what the next steps will be.
Right. Yeah, I think the uncertainty was the biggest, like, the hardest thing to deal with. A lot of us, like, we were over the summer, like, when we found out we were, like, done swimming, we're like, okay, so when are we going to go back? And it would be, like, every 2 weeks, they would be like, oh, we're finding out information. And then the next 2 weeks,
exactly.
We don't have information.
Yeah, like, well, we're trying to figure it out, and we'll get back to you and let you know. And that, again, like, for athletes, I mean, we're all the same in a sense, where we all, you know, we have goals in our sport and we have training in our sport, and everybody's just eager to get back to playing. They don't really look at the big picture. Like, yeah, it would be great to play. All of us want to, but if it's something that is literally taking lives, obviously that's a little more important. So just telling yourself that and understanding, like, okay, this is bigger than just sports. Like you said, the uncertainty is the worst.
Yeah, a lot of us were like, honestly, we're like the least important thing happening right now, but it was really hard. And, oh my gosh, watching the seniors, like, they were about to go to NCAAs, and for swimming, you have to taper for your one big meet, and
right. Taper,
they didn't get to see like what they fully could have accomplished as seniors, and it was just heartbreaking, but obviously there are more important things in life. And I think we all really grasped that. We were like, okay, you're right.
I've thought about that a lot, but you bring up the seniors. Like, I had such a, you know, it's such a bad feeling for those seniors, because I know in hockey you have senior night and senior weekend where all the families come and you do like a lap around the ice, and they kind of go through what all the things you've accomplished. And it's just such a surreal feeling. Like, you spent 4 years at 4 or 5 years at this place. You made some friends you'll have forever, and you don't get to really celebrate that weekend with them because of the coronavirus. And that's a huge misfortune, because that was one of the greatest experiences of my 4 years at school was senior weekend, because we all got to celebrate, like, wow, like, you know, we did it, like, we made it. So
yeah,
that's definitely tough.
That's funny that you say that. We have our senior day this Saturday. We don't actually know if we're going to be competing against the team we're supposed to, but we are hoping that it happens. And but
I hope you're able to.
But I mean, at least we'll still be like honored, so it'll still be a cool experience.
Exactly.
my last question for you before we wrap things up is, what would you say to somebody who, any athlete who tests positive for COVID? Like, what is your biggest recommendation?
I mean, my first, the main recommendation would just be to take it seriously, because the athletes, we're all young and healthy. We have strong bodies and we're able to get through it. I mean, God forbid that somebody catches it and has a serious impact, but just take it seriously, because at the end of the day, you know, the quarantine is 2 weeks. So if you do your 2 weeks, then you can be back playing in, you know, 15, 16 days. But if you don't take it seriously, then it spreads throughout your team. You could be looking at months before you're able to come back. So yeah, like just kind of, you know, take the wounds and just accept the fact that you have to go through that quarantine in order to get back to your end goal, which is to be back on the ice or back in the water swimming. Like, you know, just go through it, because there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people that have had to do it and they've followed the rules. So yeah, just take it seriously and just get it over with, because the sooner you're back out there, the sooner you're going to be happy playing your sport. And I guess secondly, just keeping that positive attitude, because like I said, I found that I, you know, told myself like, wow, I'm really out of shape. Like, am I ever going to be able to get back where I was? And obviously thinking like that's not going to do anything. So, you know, just accept the fact that it's a tough time. This is going to take a toll on your body, but it's nothing that's going to, you know, stop you from getting back to where you were, or, you know, even better in the future. So take it seriously and understand that it's going to be a temporary, not a long-term thing, and just kind of ride the wave and you'll be done soon, because, you know, your team needs you, and I know you want to be back. So just make sure they don't get it, or you'll be off the ice or out of the water even longer.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was great. And I really liked your input on what it was like to have COVID. And
yeah, obviously wasn't a great experience for you or me, but, you know, we're here to talk about it, and it's an experience, and a lot of people find it interesting hearing about it and the different stories that come with it.
Right. Right. Awesome. Well, this concludes our episode. So please follow us at the Kentucky Resilience Lab on Instagram and give us a rating or a view. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.